Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Trending Lemon. I'm your host, Bryce Castillo. And this week, I'm joined with a good friend of mine here in studio with me, Mike TV. Hey, Mike.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
I imagine anybody who's listening to this knows about you, either knows the Twitch stuff or the Get Set Go music. But how would you describe yourself to someone who maybe doesn't know you?
I'm a revolutionary and and a mass murderer.
Usually one and usually hand in hand those two.
I'm a musician and I'm.
How long have you been in the music game?
So since 2002 professionally, since 1996 is when I really started taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So it was, but 1996 I could barely play the guitar, I could barely write, but I really did. I committed myself back then, and so it's been well over 20 years, 23 years,
wow,
kind of full
great.
Tilt. Yeah, it's crazy.
It sneaks up on you.
It really. I started like 6 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have two new things going on right now.
Yes, yeah, and a whole bunch more in the offing, because if I'm not working all the time, then my life is gonna fall apart, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm working on a new record, and it's the first time I've done a massive. So I've since 2017, I put out a 45 song album in 2017, 102 song sort of career retrospective in 2018,
like a best of.
Yeah. Or it was me re-recording.
Oh, okay.
A lot of my hits, yeah, on every record, but just acoustic guitar and one vocal. So it wasn't very labor intensive.
Yeah.
And then this time around, it's full blown studio productions of all the stuff I wrote in 2018 and 2019.
Wow. And you were writing a ton in 2018 and even this year.
Yeah. So I've been going full tilt, and this is by an order of magnitude the best stuff I've ever done.
Wow.
And my buddy Schmed, who moved from Missoula, Montana, he used to play with Weezer. He did string arrangements for Ween.
Okay.
He's one of the greatest musicians I've ever known in my entire life.
Yeah.
He moved to Austin, Texas. He lives right below me, and so he and I have been collaborating on this record.
That's so great.
And so it's. Yeah, man, it's gonna be spectacular. But
yeah.
So that's the main.
That's
thing.
That's a new original album coming out, Sam.
Yeah.
But also, just yesterday, as we're recording this, you launched a Kickstarter for a songbook.
Yeah. So I realized that CDs are kind of superfluous now. Mm-hmm. Vinyl is great, but vinyl is really expensive. So I wanted to make sure that I could give people. I know that a lot of my fans want something in their hands that they can actually hold. It's a tangible representation of their fandom of my music.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, like, and I'm not big on gigas. I'm not big on like on tchotchkes
sure.
I don't want to give them little things that just kind of like. So I was like, what's substantive? What's something I could give them that would? And I was like, oh, what about if I gave them lyrics and chord charts and like anecdotes about each? And what if I were to break them out on an album by album basis? So right now I just launched Kickstarter for my very first record. It's all the lyrics, it's all the chord charts, and it's like on the flip side of each page,
stories.
Little stories about like what went into the recording of it, what went into.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's like that's something I could definitely be comfortable selling to someone and not feeling like I'm fleecing them, you know? So,
Right. Because even like a t-shirt is, I don't know, a t-shirt is a way of expressing that album. But when you have, cause the way you're designing this songbook is it'll feel like a CD product.
Yeah.
And so there's a very direct connection to the music there.
Yeah.
I think that's really clever. And it's another way. I mean, we've seen this a lot. I mean, it's partially why vinyl is becoming, is growing over the past couple of years because it's part souvenir more than anything.
Yeah. And I think this is the big thing behind vinyl is it's reminding people that listening to music should be an active experience. It should not be background music. The music that you love, you should put it on and you should actively listen to it. And like, yes, you can clean or do whatever, but it's going to require, and that's the great thing about vinyl because you get 15, 20 minutes into a side and then you got to flip it over again.
Right.
So you have to remain an active participant in the music.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's something I've always espoused. I'm like, that's why I make huge records. Cause I'm like, look, and why I write the kind of music I do is because it's specifically about like, look, this is music designed to be like, it's meant to challenge you. It's meant to like, you know, make you laugh and make you cry. But at the same time, it's meant to be listened to, not like, I don't write music. I don't write background, you know, background music. You know,
right. Yeah. That's, I think that's kind of what the album format, especially today, is starting to look like, right?
Yeah.
Because with digital distribution, like, it's so easy to put, just to put music out there,
yeah,
that if you just wanted to keep putting out singles, you could just do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you would have people waiting for the album, for an album. So when you have one come out, it's an intentional thing of like, I've put these things together here. And in some cases it's like, there's a very clear story, or in some cases it's, you know, a reason to group those songs together.
Yes.
But, it's become more intentional to make an album now in at least that respect.
Yeah.
Versus 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. Amen. In fact, going back to 10, 20 years ago, there was a point where like a band would write 4 or 5 amazing songs, and then we just pack it full of with filler afterwards. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so from my perspective,
I mean, how many CDs were bought because of the one breakout song?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. The Amen. And at that point in time, that was the model that worked, and people bought it. Right. And it's so funny because the price of CDs has not changed substantially since that, you know, like, right. or the
it was always
music.
Pretty cheap to
yeah.
make them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it boggles my mind that people are so reluctant to spend money on a record that has from my perspective, like, I really do try to make sure that, like, I have no filler songs. Like,
yeah.
I do like to write a handful of songs on every record that are a little bit challenging, mm-hmm. because I recognize that, like, for repeat listening, you want songs that are challenging. So that on your 15th or 20th listen, you're like, oh, now I love this song.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah just to, like, but yeah, I mean, man, so much thought goes into the music I make. I mean, seriously, so much yeah. thought, you know, and it breaks my heart when people don't like when in fact, I haven't courted the press. I'm going to be courting the press this time around.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a big reason why I'm doing this. yeah. But I haven't courted the press, because, the last time I did, man, most of them ignored it, and the people that did pay attention, they just didn't get it. And I'm like, really? Like, you're not you're gonna give me like a half an hour. It's an hour long record, and you're gonna give me half an hour of attention, and then you're gonna write your review on like really right. And so for me, I was like, okay, I need to figure out a way to change that whole narrative, you know. And
right.
so I think I've got that. I think I've spent 10 years trying to figure it out, and I think yeah. I've got a route to do that, and we'll yeah. see, you know. Yeah.
The other thing I like about the songbook format as the Kickstarter mm-hmm. sort of delivery media for, granted, an album that's already out there, is that you know, one of the things at the store that I work at, we sell videos in some formats, but it's still a very weird thing. Like, you know, so much of like magic is like selling stuff on DVDs or even selling stuff on thumb drives.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if you're like, especially a young kid who only has like a phone or a tablet or something, like, how do you even get that? So like getting a CD is just another version of the thing that's already out there,
yeah.
or you know, that's a solution that's already been solved with streaming or digital purchases, where having the book and having the stories and having the chords, like official chords, is really valuable. And it helps everyone who gets it, because that's the way that you get that new side of the story.
Yeah. And it's funny because that for me has been a big, because I do have, I mean, first off, I love the fact that even since the early days of the band, mm-hmm. you know, I've had fans that, you know, like my whole focus has been on the music. So yeah. my online presence is entirely predicated on what my fans have done. So every one of our videos, we've done 2 official music videos, and otherwise it's
16 albums.
Yep,
and
yep,
only 2 videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Which is going to change for this new record. But, yeah. but even so, but there's still 40 or 50 Get to Go videos because we did a fan contest, a video contest back in the day.
Yeah.
And then that kind of got the ball rolling. And then every record people have
been making
cool videos about. Yeah. So it's been awesome. But I'm just now beginning to take ownership of all that stuff. But even so, the lyrics, I'm 100% certain that, And most of our albums have lyric sheets on all the big lyric sites. Sure. And it's fans.
And when you buy the CDs, they're probably in the jackets. Yes,
that's what you would think. But apparently no. People just listen and they make up whatever the lyrics are so terrible. So this is like, this is going to be the first time where it's official. Like, these are the fucking lyrics, man. Yeah. Like, can I swear on this? Can I?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, So these are very funny. You know, there are whole stories of, because all of those lyric sites are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Constantly fighting each other, because it's, you have to be the one who has the song lyrics, and it's similar to like maps and cartography, where they'll put in like false lyrics, and because the false lyric is, you know, this line is written this way, you can track it as it gets other sites. And so it's and so if there's something like this where there's not a lot of official lyrics, or the lyrics are not, you know, easily accessible, it just spreads. The wrong thing spreads.
Yeah. Which is, and it's really funny, because I actually reached out to one lyric site and I was like, hey, these lyrics are wrong. These are the original lyrics. And they're like, how do you know this? And I was like, I'm the guy that wrote
them.
I'm the guy. It's mine. Like, I can verify it. This is the thing. It's like, this is my Spotify thing. This is like, you can look. And they didn't change it. Like they, there was, and oh, I was furious. I'm like,
that's
really?
That's the thing that like genius.com is doing with some of their stuff, in, because they'll do like annotated lyrics.
Oh.
And they'll do like, here, like the artist will annotate the lyrics and give like, this line is like, we came up with this line.
Genius.com. I have to record this because that's, because that's.
It used to be Rap Genius, because it used to be for breaking down rap lyrics, but then they broadened to just Genius.
Awesome.
And so it's this whole annotation thing. But that's maybe the only time I've seen a lyrics site or any sort of annotation, I guess, site try to like, get involved
the actual people that make it, which is like, I was like really, man, these lyrics are terrible. First off, they're terrible. Like, great lyric, terrible lyric, nonsensical lyric, like what, like at this point,
and people just thought it was a nonsense
lyric. He had a mini stroke right here.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Of course, absolutely. My pleasure.
This is a show where we talk about social topics, trending news, but we also do quizzes on the show.
Yes,
I wanted to start us off with a quiz to kind of get into this.
Awesome.
So we've got a quiz here. This is from Jacqueline Anson, a community contributor over at BuzzFeed. And it is a very simple one. Are you peanut butter or are you jelly?
I can't be both.
No, you can. Oh, you can never be both. You're not allowed to be both.
Because I love them both.
Do you love them both?
yeah.
Do you have a preference?
I actually eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I do that with turkey.
Because
it's easy and very, it's good.
Yeah. It's a kind of no-brainer. Like, I need a snack. I don't want to eat a big meal.
All right. Well, let's figure out which one you are. I guess we can figure out what peanut butter and jelly also means at the end of this.
So
here's our first question. Left or right? And now, this is a thing that comes up with these quizzes sometimes, is it's not like, pick your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, like, especially this one doesn't even have like a framing device of like, you know, you're walking down a path. It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite.
I'll always go left, because because it's what's the word that's predicated on left hand? I'm left-handed.
And, you're left-handed? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this what's the word? It's
a southpaw?
No. Sinister. Sinister is predicated on it's like
the word sinister.
The word sinister is actually its derivation is predicated on left-handedness. It's like
shit.
Yeah, it's like it's like Sinestro or something. Something like that.
Stuff. Wow, I had no idea. Because apparently
left-handed people are evil, which is 100% correct.
It is true. But it's a recessive gene, right? It's an oddity. Back in the day, anything that's an oddity gets blown up.
All right, we'll
go left. All right, here's another one. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Would you say you're salty or you like salty food?
I'm more savory than I am. I mean, I love sweet stuff, but I'm more of a, I'd prefer Indian food. I love ice cream. I do love ice cream, but I'd still go salty. I would do salty foods more often than I'd do sweet foods.
I mean, I would think like I would consider you a very friendly, sweet person.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's like, there's umami there. There's some heft on that. Yeah. Salty makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, here's another. Yeah. Describe yourself in one word. Kind, loyal, passionate, or adventurous?
Kind is the most important quality that any human being can have. The thing is, and loyal, I all of the others I love, but yeah, kind is like, if every human being was kind, man, what a more exceptional world this would be.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking on this show, a couple episodes ago about like these prank videos on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen this thing of like, this woman went to a Walmart and went dressed up nice and walked up to employees and said, "Oh, hey, you're fired. Like, I work at I'm a manager or district manager or something, and you're fired." And it's like, how little empathy do you have for someone?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Be like, "Oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna totally train wreck someone's life for a little while because it's funny for me." Like, are you kidding me?
It's gross. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. We actually listened to a clip of another, like, multiple people doing this. Like, this is the thing that people are doing. I'm saying that like everyone's doing, but
yeah,
there are two strong examples of it, of this one guy, and you know, he's talking to the guy and he's like, "Oh, hey, you know, you didn't ask me if I needed help or anything, and so I have to ask you for your badge and your vest." And it's like, it was a couple of minutes of like, you know,
this person kind of losing their mind, like,
not that, like, the person that they had done it to was very like, was you know, being really professional about it.
Yeah.
But it's like that, that's to let it go for that long. And then at the end, it cuts to the two of them, and he's like, "Hey, man, it was just a prank. Like, thanks. I'm gonna give you like $100 in cash or something."
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, there's so little empathy. You're your fellow person, you know?
Yeah. I mean that's really, truthfully, $100 in cash. I'm fairly certain that if it was that kind of compensation, because I'm fairly certain as a extremely poor person. Okay, do I have to deal with some, like, but the thing is some psychic stress for that. But the thing is, but even so,
you didn't ask for that.
Yeah. And even so, the thing is it like, yeah, it's just this idea that my personal narrative, like what I'm all about and what I'm doing, is so much trumps your life experience, and so I'm gonna interject myself into your life, right. and I'm gonna bring you a bunch of terror and grief. Yeah, yeah,
to profit.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. And then there you go. And hey, you know, that's, yeah, and it is. I mean,
and some might say that's a passion for content.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There are some just sick people out there. Kindness is a very good virtue.
And I do. It's really funny. I like. It's not empathy, and I do appreciate empathy, and empathy is important. Sympathy's also, I believe, is a little bit lower than empathy, but sympathy is important as well. But like, but kindness is, I think, the hallmark that all of us should ascribe to. You know, just be like, just walking gently and being kind. Like, that's, you know, that's an easy principle to have. That's a recipe for everybody getting along and the world operating in a much better way than it is currently. You know.
Yeah. You know? All right, we got let's see how many more questions here. Let's do, pick your dream vacation.
Okay.
Dream vacation, countryside getaway, a beach vacation, a mountain adventure, or a big city trip. Now, you have been a touring musician.
Yes.
You just got off of a big European tour.
Yep.
So I feel like you probably have experience going to tons of different locales.
Yeah.
I probably have experience with maybe all four of these.
Yeah, which is funny because the thing is, because for me, my dream, which is not here, but my dream vacation is staying home and doing nothing. You know? like having no obligations, no commitments,
I would say that would be close. That might be close to a countryside getaway in terms of getting away from it all.
Yep. No, yeah, you're right.
But
you're right.
Any vacation is like being off work, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And the thing is, and so, I mean, obviously I lived in California. I spent a lot of time at beaches. I love beaches. But because I live in California, in Los Angeles, I also did lots of like mountain, like all four of them are awesome to me. But really truthfully, I would have to say, because I love the movement of cities. I love the excitement and the adventure. I love being able to walk outside wherever I'm at and be like, "Oh, I'm going to go to this kind of place and be able to find it. I'm going to go to a comic book shop.
Very
I'm gonna
close.
Go, yeah. Just, very just having, dense. Just yeah. having all of the, yeah. And then having thousands of people that I've never met that I can meet. So for me, I always lean towards, I mean, I am, I'm not a nature person, you know?
Okay.
So I'd say, I appreciate it. But I prefer, so I have to say a big city trip would be for me, like the,
do you have a favorite big city?
That's
probably tough. That's probably very tough.
I will eventually return to Los Angeles and live there to the end of my days. I love LA.
Yeah.
But in terms of a place to visit and have adventures in, New York is my go-to. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chicago is a close second. The bigger the city, the more the people, the more the adventure. The more I want to, you know.
I've been to New York like only once or twice.
Oh yeah.
But it is definitely like overwhelming.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How dense it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And I've probably spent maybe 3 or 4 months in aggregate in New York my entire life.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I have barely scratched the surface. Like there's still so much to like see and do. Last time I was there, I spent a week there. On my last tour, and I hung out with Curtis LaRock.
Yeah.
And we just went, like, we went everywhere. And
It still wasn't everything. It was scratching the surface. Yeah,
yeah. I need to do this for at least 100 days to like really feel like I've got a, you know,
yeah,
I've explored the
Mike TV
just
residency.
Just the New York that Curtis knows, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, so
yeah. You need a residency in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's do another question here. Are you a cat person or a dog person? You have dogs, right?
And it's funny because up until about 4 or 5 years ago, I would have averred up and down that I was a cat person. But it turns out that I'm a dog person.
I couldn't imagine you as a cat person.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's always been the pet. Like, so I mean, so for whatever reason, because as a kid, my family all have sleep issues, so they all sleep really hard, and I'm the inverse. I sleep really lightly. So yeah. and we've always had like 6 or 7 cats and like 2 dogs. Like, we were a big animal family, mm-hmm. and every single animal would come to my door I want to go outside. I need to go pee. Like, and so I was, so for me, animals felt like serious responsibility. But every girl I live with, which is like. like 70% of my living as an adult was with a girl, they all had cats, you know? And so, and of course the cats would like bond with me, and I became the I'm hungry, I want to go out. And like I was that guy. So, so I was like, okay, great. This is like, you know, what I do, but they were never, I never initiated the owning of the animal, but
now you have, now you have a couple. What made you get dogs then?
Katie was my fiance. Of course we're not married now, so that did not work out, but I still, you know, we're still close and I still love her. But, and she had a dog of 16 years. So I met him, in 2011. He died in 2016.
Oh my goodness.
He was 16 years old in 2016. So he was 11 years old in 2011. This is great.
That's a very long life for a dog.
Oh yeah. And I'm fairly certain he could probably done another year, year and a half, 2 years if, cause he was holding on for Katie. And I didn't really like him. He's kind of a stinky, kind of like weird dog, you know? but man, he was my shadow. Like everywhere I went, he would just kind of hang out. Like, I wouldn't let him in the studio when I was recording, cause he'd make too much noise. Uh-huh. So he would just plop down right in front of the door. And just sit there, and I come out and be like, "Hey, aww, buddy!" And he was in so much pain going up and down the stairs because my studio's upstairs.
Yeah.
But he would just force himself up and down. Like if I went downstairs and was making food, he would trot on down and just be like, "Hey, what's going on?" Yeah. And he would stand like his stance was so splayed because his joints were so broke. So he'd come down and he would just stand with his like legs splayed, like "I'm here, Mike. I'm right here." God, it just broke my heart. And I was like, "Hey, buddy." And so Katie had him for 16 years. So when he died, the owners of Thunder Cloud Subs is an Austin like institution. It's like a sandwich place. And Katie was one of managers. She'd been working for them for like 12 of her, at this point in time, 16 years of adulthood. So we went to a managers meeting, and the owners of Thundercloud, there's one of the two owners, he's a big dog guy, and he was like, "You know, like we have dealt with that obviously in our lifetime, and the best like the best solution for losing a dog, because I didn't realize how much it was going to emotionally affect me.
Yeah,
he's like the best solution for losing a dog is just getting another one. You know, just go get a puppy, and trust me, it'll remedy that wound,
which,
you know,
is a very like difficult prescription to get.
Yeah,
like when my childhood dog, when we put him down because he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it was like, I couldn't deal with, like, I wasn't living with my parents at the time. Yeah. It was like, we did it over a, like, holiday break. I was like on break from college or something. And that's when we did it.
Yeah.
And, I couldn't imagine getting another dog, you know, anywhere. But at the same time, like my parents, especially my mother, really wanted to get, another dog, kind of right away, and you know, I think her mother has dogs, and I think she probably had more experience kind of with that process. But it was like, how could you?
Yeah,
you know, thinking about that.
No, right? I mean, which is really funny, because that movie is it called A Dog's Life?
Whatever. Oh God,
yeah. That movie is totally exploits. It's totally exploiting that idea. Like,
right.
But it's. But it was really funny because I suggested to Katie. So I had this conversation with John, one of the Thundercloud owners.
Yeah.
I talked to Katie and I'm like, let's just get a puppy, you know? And she was, as the owner, she was really reticent. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just go on Austin Pets Alive and just take a look and see what you see. And they're like, you know, if anything strikes your fancy. And she ran across our dog Sue and his brother, and they were like little big white fur balls. They were literally like just round balls of white.
How old
fur.
They were puppies?
They were
at the
2 months. They were 2 months old at the time. Yeah.
Wow.
And so she's like, well, let's go. I made an appointment. Let's just go talk.
Let's go see him.
Yeah. And we made this plan. We're gonna take it slow. We're gonna take a few months. We'll go see a bunch of puppies. You know, like we'll just, and we're not even certain if we're gonna do it.
Right.
And literally, Sue walks out. This like little fluff ball, and he walks up. He's like, you own me now. Hey guys, you own me. I'm in your family.
You immediately was sold. Yeah.
Like, our very first, we made this whole plan to like just not fall in love the moment. Like, and we're like, all right, this is our dog.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about owning a pet. I live in an apartment right now, which is why I went, like, I wouldn't want to put an animal through living in an apartment now, just cause like, especially we're like on the top floor here. Mm. There's like a dog park over there, I guess, but it's not a lot of, you know, green space. But man, that Austin Pets Alive website.
Yeah, dude. I mean, really. I mean, it's funny. It's funny. My buddy Schmed, who's the musician playing on, he's the only other musician on my new record, but no, that's actually not so. Trey Warren is also on the.
Trey's great.
Yeah, and he's amazing musician. But Schmed and I were talking about this. We're like, you know, actually, like dogs don't realize like the lot that you've thrown them into. Like a homeless dog, as long as they're with their owner, they're like, this is great. I'm with my person. Like they don't realize
they're very adaptable.
That there's another life that maybe potentially a better life for them. And so they're just like, as long as they're with their person. So so from my perspective, the thing is that like, if you find, you know, this 2017, 2018, and now 2019 were very, very lonely years for me. You know, like I've been working really hard. I've been making a lot of music, but like, I don't really interact with people. You know, like I occasionally guest on a Night Attack. I occasionally see you. I occasionally see Jay. Like, but I occasionally see Matt. But like, I don't really.
You don't get out very much.
Yeah, right? I'm not really interacting with human beings at all. You know, and So Sue being in my life, you know, my puppy, who's now 120 pounds, gigantic puppy, but you know, him being in my life, like he really, I didn't realize like he's been a touchstone. Like he's really kind of kept me feeling like kept me from being like, I'm
like totally, you're alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm super. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
cause I get in the same headspace too, of just like not getting out very often having to have people drag me out or whatever. And it's tough.
Yeah.
You know?
So
that's great.
So I would say if it ever gets to the point where you're like, you know, I don't think, I mean, because I take Sue on a lot of walks, which is great because I'm working all the time. So, but Sue needs to go out, and so it gives me an opportunity to go out and reflect and kind of think about what I'm working on. And so it's you can build an animal in your routine. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know,
we had someone who I think maybe worked for Austin Pets Alive or was associated with them.
Yeah.
I was talking to her one day and, you know, I was telling her the same thing. I was like, well, you know, like the dogs are cute on the website, but I live in an apartment. I'm not really, I have a weird schedule. I'm not a good person for it. And she goes, just get one. They'll make you a good person. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, my God, no, don't tell me that.
And really truthfully, I mean, it's crazy because I left Sue to come here for this, you right. know, and of course, and he's losing his mind. He's like, I don't want to, you know, but he's good about, like, he will bark and he'll freak out for a little bit, but he's like, okay, but then every time I return, he's like, you came back. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
You don't get that with cats.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
You do not get that. It is. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So definitely dog person.
Definitely dog person. Okay. This is always, oh my goodness. This is always the weird thing about these quizzes is that it's like, we'll go on a great story. And then we have to jump back to the thing. I've never figured out that transition. Yeah, exactly. Ever.
Segwaying back
I've been doing this for 6 months and I've still never figured that out. All right. Well, it turns out we found out whether you're peanut butter and jelly, and what you got is peanut butter.
Of course. Yeah.
Those with a peanut butter personality are passionate, spontaneous, and a little bit nutty. They enjoy trying new things and they're always up for an adventure.
Right on.
That
awesome.
Sounds like
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
That
yeah,
sounds like you. Like,
yeah. I think a little bit nutty is not really the qualification, like, but I think otherwise, yeah.
The question is, with peanut butter,
yeah,
chunky or smooth?
All right, so that's it's really funny because as a kid, yeah. I was nothing but I was only chunky.
Like, okay,
yeah, but as an adult, smooth is now my go-to. Really? Yeah. The thing is that, like, it's a texture thing.
People don't believe me when I say mouthfeel is a thing.
Yes,
it's a thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It really is.
Do you eat peanuts? I wonder if this is a thing, because I don't eat. I really don't eat, like, you know, salted peanuts or anything. And so I only like smooth peanut butter.
Yeah.
Do you eat peanuts by themselves?
I do. And I love every kind of, like, kind of snacky kind of, like, you know, but the thing is but for some reason, like, for me, peanut butter and jelly is definitely a childhood thing. Like it's definitely you know, it's definitely kind of like, and I think because I think I was the only person in my family that really liked chunky peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And so we always had smooth peanut butter.
Yeah.
And so occasionally my mom would get chunky and I was like, yeah, this is great. But, right. but I think now as an adult, it reminds me of being a kid and it's kind of a comfort food kind of thing, you know, like I'm like, oh yeah. So yeah.
Well, there we go. So, would you say you're smooth peanut butter or chunky peanut butter?
Hey, fuck, dude, I'm the smoothest money.
Definitely right. All right, we're gonna take a break and we'll come back with a little bit more of the show after this. Hey y'all, thanks for listening. If you like the show, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/trendinglemon, and for more information and past episodes, visit trendinglemon.com. If you have it in you, tell a friend. We rely on word of mouth to promote the show, so every referral helps. My name is Bryce Castillo. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Brycas, B-R-Y-C-A-S, and be sure to follow Mike on Twitch, MikeTVLive, on twitch.tv, and check out his songbook Kickstarter. We've got a link in the show notes. This show is a part of the Diamond Club stream team. Find more shows and join the Diamond Club community Discord over at diamondclub.tv. All right, we're back on the show. Mike, I know you're doing a lot of streaming now. You've been doing music. Music is becoming a more of an online genre. How like online would you say that you are? Do you feel like you're like a big online person?
I mean, yeah, it's funny. I think I was more aware of Reddit and mm-hmm. Twitter and things that, you know, like the things where people go to for like to feel like they're part of the online community.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, because now as my focus has gotten more musically based and more myopic. Mm-hmm. I'm always online. I'm constantly like checking in, you know, I mean, mostly now it's just my community and the things that I'm doing. And then obviously with an adjunct that is like, or a little sideline that is Diamond Club and Night Attack and all that stuff. Like I'm trying to pay attention to like what's going on with my extended family, ostensibly, but
and that's very difficult. Like one of the things that we're trying to figure out with like all of the YouTube shows that we do is like, you know, social media is more than just saying that you made a thing, right? It's like understanding all the other people in your space and knowing what they're doing and engaging the people who follow you, not just when you make something, but when they make something. Yeah. And it's a very time consuming process, and you have to be really deep in those communities.
Yeah. And it's funny because the Twitch music community, you know, it's funny because I am a community focused person, and I'm really good at not only am I good at like, at being a participant in the community, I'm also good at like being like, hey, here's an opportunity that we're missing out on. Let's do this and kind of like
and pulling people together.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of like being a thought leader in that. But and so that's what I did when I first joined the Twitch music streaming community. I was I was like, hey, we're gonna be at TwitchCon. Let's put together a show. Like, have you guys ever played? Have you ever done a rock and roll show at a venue? We're in Los Angeles. That's a place I know. Let me set up. So, but as the things that I'm trying to do to make a living and scrape, you know, and survive they've overwhelmed my ability to really participate in pretty much any community, you know? And so it's been really tough because I see like, I'm like, oh yeah, there's lots of missed opportunities, you know, and I'm seeing other people benefiting from the things that I should be benefiting from, but I'm not because it's like, I've got too much on my plate.
It's difficult, you know, when you know, like if you're a full-time streamer, the last thing you want to do when you are done with a big stream is go watch someone else.
Spend an hour, exactly.
And so it gets difficult, and that's kind of where people get into like, you know, oh, you know, we have, whether it's like community, like street team-y sort of stuff, or like community managers or whatever. But it's a tough thing. There was someone had posted this on Twitter at the Dweck. And I've seen this a few other times, and their tweet is this. This is from Jess Dweck. Unclear why we're all still using this site when the worst case scenario for a tweet is it ruins your entire life, and the best case scenario is it ends up on a Mashable list of sassiest replies to the IHOP account. And you know, I've seen this sentiment before, which is like if you're successful on Twitter, it's the worst experience imaginable. You're like just bombarded with engagement or people replying to you, or like it's impossible. I don't know if you've ever seen those videos of like when basketball players or like big influencers on Instagram post something and you just watch their phone like blink as new likes and, you know, all notifications and stuff come in. And it really, like, I've really been questioning just like what is the point of social media?
No, amen.
Because it's like I don't know. I tweet jokes and I tweet about the stuff that we do, but it's like the best version of that is like bombardment. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, in fact, that's something. It's funny because I've always negotiated that in a way that's allowed me to kind of like insulate myself. So MySpace. Mm-hmm. When MySpace first happened, I was an early adopter of MySpace.
Yeah.
My band eventually got to the point where we had 70,000 friends, you know, and a big part of that was I reached out to, so I first dug into all of my friends, all my friends' bands' friends. Mm-hmm. And I just reached out to all of them. I was like, hey, I'm Mike DV. And I'm friends with these guys and you like their music. You might want to check my stuff out.
Right.
And the thing is,
which is like, still a very valid way, you know, start with the people you know.
And that's exactly it. And then I just did bands that were one degree of separation from. But I always maintained a personal, it was always specifically addressed. It was never copy and, like, parts of the letter was copy and paste, but I always made a point of, like, let me look and see who this person is and give something that identifies, like, so they don't feel like it's just a copy and paste letter.
Right.
So it took me 6 hours every single day. The maximum I could send out were 400 messages.
There was a
in
limit.
A day. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so, and I would do 400 every single day. Wow. And it was 6 hours. And
incredible.
The opening paragraph would be specifically tailored to them. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be a little bit of copy and paste. And then it'd be like, you know, and then anybody that responded to me, I'd respond back to them, I got to a point where I had 200 or 300 conversations happening at any given time.
Jesus.
And it was that's
especially in that early, or I guess mid early internet period, yeah, is like, yeah, that personal touch is what would set you apart.
That was exactly it, and that's why, and so I remember they had MySpace had this, like, they had their top pop bands and top, and we were always power pop bands. We were always in the top three. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was just like Hello Goodbye and us. And yeah, then whatever band kind of managed to pop up for a couple of days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I realized at that point in time, the thing is that, like, I can't deal with millions of people. I just can't interact. Right. Like, but
your campaign does not scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is like, and so if I ever get to a point where I've got that level of people into what I do,
right,
I'm going to have to really seriously rethink what I, like, how I do things and what the way I do things. But, mm-hmm, but for me, the thing is like, there's so much more, from my perspective, there's so much more joy that comes out of, like, being like, oh yeah, these are I can definitely deal with 20, 30, 40,000 people, because they're not all of them asking from me all the time,
right,
my time and my attention. But occasionally one of them will reach out and be like, hey, you know, I'm going through a real hard time and your music really helped me out. And I'll be like, hey, mm-hmm, man, like, right on, and thanks so much, and like yeah, are you doing okay, like, you know, and it becomes a personal connection. And I like that idea. And so that's the thing that, for me, why I've never really adopted Twitter, and mm-hmm, the idea is like, from my, you can't, when someone wants to engage with you in a more substantive way, mm-hmm, you can't really do it through Twitter
without, the messages are shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all generally public unless it's all private in DMs and stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I never want to get, at any point in my life, get elevated to the point where I'm not a human being, you know, like sure. I don't ever want to be a celebrity. Like uh-huh, no matter how much success I ever get, like, I just want to be like a real, I never want to walk in a room and be like, and I'm not a real person, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And so,
are you following any of the brands stuff on Twitter? You're not on Twitter very much, yeah, but I don't know if you know the phenomena of, like, brands as this force on Twitter.
Like brands being like Nike,
Arby's is a very well known one. They do, like, a lot of these paper craft creations, right? Mm. So, like, yeah, if there's a video game coming out, they'll make a little paper craft guy. Sonic the Hedgehog is a very, like, mouthy brand.
Okay, yeah,
like the idea of like Wendy's like is known for being a kind of antagonistic brand, yeah, of just, yeah, like, you know, oh well, you know, you're going to McDonald's, well, you know, gonna give you some sass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's become kind of what you just described on MySpace, right? Yeah. The idea of, like, okay, I want to know who is fans of mine and friends of my fans, or my friends who might be fans, and then keep going one layer.
Yeah.
But the tools, I don't know if you've ever looked into any of the tools that exist out there for brands, like for scaling up the thing that you just described that these multi-million dollar companies do every day.
Yeah.
It's scary. There are sites out there. There's a really great article from The Atlantic from Ian Bogost about, he talks about his experience from, I guess at some point Comcast had tweeted him. He Comcast had recently started advertising mobile phone service where I live. Given that Comcast and AT&T were already the only local choices for broadband and cable, the move felt like an ominous sign of even more industry consolidation. I took to Twitter to air this worry. Quote, "It's nice that Comcast is offering mobile phone service now," I posted. "But until I can get Comcast delivery pizza, I will remain empty inside." It was a joke. Yeah, it was a quip. Yeah. And then Comcast DMs him and says, "Hey, give us your address. We'll send you pizza."
Yeah.
And they did it. And he was still a journalist at the time. So he's like, well, I can't take this. So I'm going to give it away or refuse the rest of it.
Yeah.
But this is a thing that happens pretty regularly. This idea of like finding people who are engaging with these brands or talking about these brands.
Yeah.
One of the tools that he describes later in the article, let's see if I can find the name of it. It's you know, one of these big social analytics sites. It's this big, you know, social analytics site, and you go to their website and it's creepy because it's like, we can detect brands in photos. We can detect it in keywords. We can like, whatever you think Twitter's, like the search bar on Twitter is, they're already doing it for everything.
Yeah.
So if you post a photo and there's a Pepsi can in the land, they'll know that that tweet has that. Even if you didn't tag them, even if Pepsi's not asking for it.
Yeah.
The goal on the social media side for them is very similar to kind of what you're describing, right? The idea of a quiet moment between you and the person on the other end.
Yeah. It's the business of advertising. It's and brand building to manipulate that kind of like real human, because what they're trying to, they're selling a false. For me, it's a legitimate thing. The thing is just like, I know it's funny because I don't ever look at my music is not, it's not a commodity. It's art. It's me saying, this is my personal life experience. And I'm looking and I'm hoping that it will resonate with you. If you're someone like me and your life has dealt with similar hardships and similar woe and similar jubilant, awesome moments, these little pockets of amazing. Mm-hmm. If my music resonates with you, you're definitely a small fraction of the vast panoply of people, you know?
Right.
And so if my music resonates with you, I want to know because we're the same kind of people. And it's nice to know that I've, you know,
right.
And so when my music does resonate and someone reaches out, the thing is like it's an awesome and amazing human connection, and mm-hmm. it's really funny, and that's why even when I do my streams, it's never predicated on money. Like mm-hmm. Yes, do I stream? Do I like to make money? Do I like to get tipped?
Right.
Of course. But none of the things I do are none of it is money focused, and none of it mm-hmm. you don't get if you. Contribute any money.
It's not pay-per-view.
If you contribute any money to me, you don't get any special treatment beyond someone that doesn't. Because as a poor person, there's been so many times where I was not allowed. I wasn't allowed a seat at the table because I didn't have money.
And it's alienating, especially on like a service like Twitch, which is like, or even YouTube, where you know, kind of everybody really has access. You know, you don't need to have an account even to these sites to watch this stuff.
Yeah.
But you definitely know that. In various places and to different degrees, if you are a contributor, if you're a financial contributor, you get something.
Extra, yeah.
There is another level there, whether it's cosmetic, whether it's significant.
Yeah.
Just having that there.
Yeah.
Is a thing. You know, we have the Twitch channel, the Night Attack Twitch channel, which does, you know, we have subscription the subscribers just like you know, partners do, but. I try to be very cognizant of like what stuff people would normally get for free from a podcast and what we can give people that feels fair.
Yeah.
And doesn't make it feel like people are losing out. So most of the stuff that we give is like timed exclusives or like a single special chat room, which is not any different than any of the other chat rooms.
Yeah.
Or
I think that's one of the amazing things about Brian Brushwood is that like he's really, really good at looking at like, well, how do I monetize the things that I'm doing and how do I give people value? I definitely want to make money off of this stuff, but how do I give them some sort of value for, you know, and he's amazing at that. And it's funny because for years he would tell me, he's like, Mike, you just got to come up with something like, you know, and I was like,
I've listened to him give you many different pitches for things.
And the thing is like, and I'm like, but I can't like, I'm not a tchotchke. Like, so it took me a long time to come up with, oh, the songbook kind of idea
right.
works for me, because that is that's effectively the music.
It's me, in it's another a meaningful, format. Yeah, it's yeah, a meaningful yeah. item.
Yeah. And it provides utility, and it's, but it's also something you can display. And then also, because it's a limited run, it's something that has value just because of its scarcity, you know?
Right.
I really do think that me growing up in the film and TV business and making a fuck ton of money in my 20s.
Yeah.
And realizing I would take 15 of my friends out and be like, we're going to drink and party all night long and don't worry, the bill's on me. You know, yeah.
If people don't know, you were a movie executive.
Yeah, yeah.
I was for a period.
Yeah, yeah. I was a development executive at Universal Cartoon Studios. And then I had my own company with a partner, the former president of Universal Cartoon Studios. He and I started our own company. There was a point in time when I just had so much money, and it didn't. Having that money did not in any way it challenged my perspective on my friends. Like, I was like, are these people my friends because they like me as who I am, or are they my friends because
you're I'm generous.
Able to, yeah, yeah, because I'm able to like give them these grand adventures, you know? And that
must be a very strong question of self too, right?
Because yeah.
you are a kind and generous person. I mean, we just talked about yeah. you know, wanting to give people something that is meaningful.
Yeah,
and that's the work of someone who wants to do. It's the opposite of this Twitter brand stuff, right? Where this is very high quantity, low effort, relatively low cost for them. 10 yeah. pizzas cost Comcast nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where this is the opposite. Your songbook is 100 of these things, and they're hand done and they're personalized.
Yeah,
and they're exact opposites on the spectrum.
And in fact, I think that's the thing about the brand thing. I think that's so they're creating this sense that like we care about you and we're people too. And mm-hmm. but ultimately it's about they want you to buy shit, you know?
Yes.
And it's funny because I too want to make a living. I too want to like, mm-hmm. I want people to buy enough of my stuff so that I can survive. Yeah. But the thing is if I get to a point where I'm subsisting, like that's fine. Like the thing is that yeah. like I'm.
You just want to survive.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
yeah,
make
yeah.
your make music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. And I think that's a very different, like, you know, the thing is like, yeah.
You don't have shareholders and Comcast does.
And I don't have a quarterly report, and I don't right. have to like, and I don't have to prove 15% or 20% growth each quarter, you know, quarter over right. quarter. You know, the thing is like, I want to survive, and I want a real human connection with the people I interact with, and you know, yeah, and I want to make good art, and I want that art to be celebrated by the people that want to celebrate it, you know.
Yeah, and there are obviously humans running these accounts.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
If someone has to say, hey, why don't we buy some pizzas, right? Like, I don't think any individual person is demonized, and there are certainly, you know, I mentioned Arby's. I think that the work, they do really creative work. Like yeah. they are literally like their team is actually paper craft artists
yeah,
making
yeah, awesome.
These things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's a spectrum on this, but seeing stuff like this, it reminds me very much a lot of how video games are kind of going now, which is like influencers getting access to games and not necessarily like critics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even if Comcast, you know, he says here in the DMs with Xfinity Mobile, quote, there's absolutely no obligation or request for you to write about this. In fact, we are just glad that you enjoyed it. But that's what they have to say.
Yeah.
Because they know you're going to be very happy. You just got a bunch of pizzas.
Yeah. 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 And they are trying to present a human face and be like, hey, mm-hmm. we're just people too. And the thing, and so ultimately it comes down to, from my perspective, like, well, what is it like, what's your bottom line? What are you actively after? And the thing is like, mm-hmm. and yes, and Comcast wants to grow their
customer base. Yeah, they yeah, want yeah, just yeah. good PR.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And so when
like
you
for example, one of the other stories he mentions here, there is a viral tweet of a woman. She had posted that her boyfriend or her maybe her fiance liked Kit Kats, but he would eat the Kit Kats like as a candy bar. Instead of popping them off, he would just make a big bite into it. And so Kit Kat reaches out to her, and they're like, oh, this is a great viral thing. What if, you know, we helped you with your proposal? And so they like make this 3D printed Kit Kat bar, and she gives it to him, and it opens it up, and the ring is in there. So it's a sweet sort of story, but also their wedding or their engagement has Kit Kat's name on it. You'll never get away from that. What do you do with that? And it just makes me think, like, Twitter, going back to the original tweet, it's like, is that what Twitter is all about now? Is like engaging with brands, or is it like what are we trying to use it for?
Yeah.
And so it makes me want to like use it more actively as like responding to the people that I know and I like, and letting them know, oh, I actually like feel about this, instead of just like, you know, hitting like or retweet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know? Well, it's funny because I mean, not everything has to be a substantive human experience, right? The thing is I mean,
sure.
I mean, it, for me, it feels like I check Twitter once a week, maybe a couple times, you know, and I scroll through, and the great thing is I've got very witty friends, mm-hmm. and so I just like I that's a good joke, and that's an interesting comment, and that's great, and yes, and fuck that politician, you know. But yeah. The thing is from that perspective, it's totally fine for me. Like I don't you know,
is there a social network that you do use a lot?
No, yeah. The thing is, it's like as the music. I mean, Twitch okay, is sure. the one thing that I spend most of my time on. I don't really hop in. I mean, I watch Night Attack on Tuesdays,
sure.
And that's about it. You know, and then when I raid somebody, mm-hmm. I'll spend about 15 minutes in that channel. You know, and that's the most. The thing is my plate is way too full. You know, like it is, mm-hmm. I get up at 7:30. I read the paper until 8:30.
Yeah.
And then I'm working from 8:30 until I'm ready to go to bed at night. You know,
yeah.
I take Sue on a couple walks and that's my life, you know?
Yeah. Like I think I would say Twitter is where I tend to spend the most amount of time, or I guess Discord, right?
Yeah.
Like Discord.
Oh, yeah.
Discord is kind of like a stealth new social network.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
But, I think that experience is not universal of people using Twitter, yeah. right? Like I constantly meet people in other places and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really use Twitter very much.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there, I think it's like their user base in the US is like, I think just 30 million people. So that's like
something like that.
It's like one out of every 10, you know?
Right. It's still dwarfed by Facebook and Instagram
and
probably even Snapchat
or
if you look at YouTube as a social network, which I probably wouldn't, you know, there are definitely more and probably better platforms.
Yeah. But it is a lot of influencers and it's lots of, you know, I mean, it's basically the place where a lot of discourse, which is the thing that boggles my mind. Cause it's discourse that's happening in like
the worst place
170
for
characters, you know, like when I have 180, whatever, yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how is that? You know? But it's funny. I do appreciate that. Yeah. It's you're forced to truncate, you know, what you're saying, or you can do like Patton Oswalt 40 tweets, you know,
big threads.
Yeah. But yeah, man. Yeah. It's funny for whatever reason, it's just never, I've got a Twitter account. I appreciate it, but it's never been my, it feels
like you don't have any time for the
social network. It's like the MySpace experience taught me that if I really want to dominate, and I can, I've got the skills, I've got the networking skills, I've got like, but if I really want to dominate a space, it's going to take 6 hours every day, some maybe even more, you know? And if it's just you,
I don't know if maybe this was different when Get To Go was a full band.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's always been just me. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, it's tough if you don't have others around you to work with the creative side of it.
Yeah. And unfortunately it's funny. In fact, that's one of the things I've been dealing with in my own Twitch community. Like people are like, hey Mike, let us help you out, like let's help you promote the I'm very thankful that they offer that, but I also know that like it's not gonna happen. The thing is like people even just asking for me in the way, like,
sure,
I've said, hey, like if you like a record, like just go on just go review the record on Amazon or iTunes, or just like if you like one of my albums, like that's a great way you could easily help me out, is just like write a little review, like just keep like add more, and even that is that doesn't happen. So,
right.
So I realized that the intent, the desire and the intent that people express in the moment does not necessarily translate into action.
Well, what are the things that they're offering to do for, or like, is it just
like help out, like help out with the
like moderation or,
oh no, my mods are awesome. But just like, oh, I've been talking about, because I haven't courted the press since 2011 when Fear of Your Lonely Heart came out. Uh-huh. And I spent $6,000 on a publicity campaign that got me 1.5 write-ups.
Right.
So I was like, I can't ever do that again. So, so I just spent the past decade ignoring the press. Like, I just put out a record and there you go. Like,
yeah.
Find it, people, you know, but this new album, I think it's got legs, and I think there's a lot of hits, and I think that, and of course I talk about this. I'm like, all right, I have to go out and I'm gonna have to like start courting the press. And people are like, hey, Mike, let us help you out. Like, what can we do?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. And I realized that like anything that I suggest, no matter how, even just like, no matter how minimal, it's still going to be a huge hurdle for most people to overcome. And I think it's, well, not,
in what way? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
On the person offering?
Yes. And this is why I don't think that it's in a bad way. I think that If I'm a fan of, well, actually, I can't say that because I'm a self-starter.
So one thing that we're dealing with right now is, yeah, like we make the YouTube videos, but like I mentioned, we don't have a big social media. We don't have a lot of time to spend cultivating on social media stuff.
Yeah.
But the one thing that helps out a lot is something like Reddit. Reddit's really good for videos.
Yeah.
But Reddit pretty blanketly doesn't like people posting their own content. Mostly because it's like a quality issue, right? Like, we make good stuff across the board, and there are not always people who want to be famous on Reddit who, yeah, do the same. And so that kind of blanket rule of like, don't post your own stuff is supposed to be just a low hurdle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't get someone else to post this for you, why, like, you can't, that should be a very easy way to prove,
yeah,
that it's good.
Yeah.
And so granted, that's different than like getting a pitchfork to write about you or something.
Yeah.
But in a new world where music videos are a very primary way that, you know, promotion gets out there for music, you know, you should at least keep a list of names of those people who want to help you out. Cause I think they can in new ways.
Oh yeah. No. So in fact, you're totally right. So I'm trying to find ways to make it very, very easy. Mm-hmm. Like, cause it is, it's like upvoting on Reddit. The thing is, yeah, is like upvoting is super easy. Like, you click a button and there you go, you know?
Right.
So that's, I think that if I can find ways to like involve that level, like, because, and I think when I asked somebody, like when I was like, hey, write a review. Mm-hmm. The thing is like, I think it's a difficult thing to ask people to do, because I exist in a world of words. It's easy for me to like effuse about, but not everybody does. And so, right, and so to ask them to be like, I know you love this record, so can you take this and use things that you don't, like,
distill your thoughts and emotions about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, and it's not even as easy as just like give it 5 stars. Like,
yeah,
a lot of these places will make you write a review and give it a title, yep, and have a character, yep, yep, like minimum.
Yep.
Like, it's enough because they want
now,
it to
and then
be
now
good.
You're on record. Like, and now it's like, and these are your words crystallized in amber, you know,
right,
like, So I'm just now kind of coming to the perspective, like, oh, I need to find ways to like make it easy for people to engage, mm-hmm, and make it easy. Like, and so in fact, that's what I'm doing. So now my plan is like, when, as I'm reaching out to blogs, cause I'm going to start my publicity campaign by reaching out to small blogs,
sure,
small music blogs. And I'm going to be like, hey, and I've got like, I'm Mike TV, I'm in the band Get Sick Go, Grey's Anatomy and blah, blah, blah. I've got a new record. I haven't really courted the press in a long time. I'd be interested in, like, if you want to do an interview, I'd be willing to give you an interview. If you want, I can say in the music, do you want to,
sure,
review this stuff? And I can offer you some, I know my people, if you write, whatever you write, I know my people will show up and they'll read it. And so the thing is, like, so my hope is like, I can get 200 or 300 of my active engaged people. So when someone writes something,
to
boom,
click on it and read,
yeah,
it,
yeah, boom, there's a few hundred views immediately. So,
sure,
when I'm starting with blogs that normally get, you know, traffic of 200 or 300 people in a given month, and I can bring a huge, like, a huge impact in that moment.
Sure.
That's easy. So I'm like, here's a link, just click through and read the article, you know, and that in itself, I think will be a good way for me to leverage, you know, people's interest without actually asking them to like have to go above and beyond.
Sure. It does make me, you know, worry a little. Maybe it wasn't on this show, but you know, burnout is a huge thing right now, especially with self-starting, you know, creative and entrepreneurs and stuff. And you know, it kind of makes me worried for like your own like well-being of like, I want to do, you know, this you know, direct approach to, you know, I want to earn every small blog I can get. And I know you can,
because
you're a super great guy. and it's an uphill fight, and at the same time the streaming, and at the same time the kids. Another one on top of the pile.
I've been burnt out for about 6 years. I have had the pedal to the metal and I keep saying, at some point in time I have to pull my foot off.
You are gonna run out of days in the hours in the day,
and I'm gonna go insane. But the thing is this is my last big push. The new music is the best I've ever written. Mm-hmm. Now with Schmed's help, the thing is compositionally and arrangement wise, it's the best music. There's 48 songs. It's literally like, this is my whole life has been just kind of building up to this moment. So now, I'm going to go to the end of the year. I'm going to put in a lot of Titanic, like a one big Titanic last push. And then if I'm just Sisyphus, which I really feel, and the fucking boulder comes rolling down the hill, I'm going to take a big break. I'm going to be like, all right, well, yeah, whatever. Like, fuck you guys. Yeah. Like I just need to, chill out for a little bit.
Cause this is going to be a traditional album release, or is this the,
so no, in fact, this is
where
yeah,
it's
so,
like, it'll be constant so, music. Cause I think that's such a big ask of like immediately, like here's 48 songs.
Oh yeah. No, in fact,
and that's going to be tough, especially with as much noise as there is out there now.
Amen. In fact, that's so I realized that the last time I dropped the past two couple of gigantic records,
right.
It's in 2007,
they were in chunks, but they were in large chunks.
Well,
right?
No. So I just deposit. Well, no. Yeah, the last 102 song album. I did 35 song chunks. Yeah.
Which is still a lot. 35 is still a lot.
Triple records. Triple records. There you go. but I realized that the 2017 release, this is why we can't have nice things. I put that out. And just now am I getting people going like, man, I really love this record. Like, it took them 2 years to really digest the album, you know? Yeah. So I was like, how do I combat that? And so what I'm going to do is I'm releasing 10 singles. I'm releasing one single every 2 weeks for 20 weeks. So I'm going to give people little bite-sized chunks and allow them to kind of like digest.
Sure.
So, in fact, next week, next Friday, I'm going to have a listening party, and me and my Twitch chat are going to identify these are the top 10 songs. These are the songs are going to be singles, and then figure out that sequence of how I'm going to release them. And so that will allow me to like, because I definitely do want to change the narrative in terms of the way people listen to music and pay attention to music, because like, you know, you find a book that you love and that's a 15-hour, like often it's like hours and hours worth of, and movies now, it's like you'll run across
so long,
3-hour movie. And like, so why is it that we're still saddled with albums that are predicated on LP lengths, right? The thing is that you can only fit so much music on an LP, and that's why they're 45 minutes, so 30 to 45 minutes. Yeah.
Well, and it becomes a quality thing, right? Like we talked about, you can't sell a whole CD on a single anymore. You have to fight for every track, which is why I think you see album set lengths contracting a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? And like my favorite album from last year was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But every second of it
was awesome. Yeah.
It was great.
Right. Yeah. And that's, and so that's what I'm trying to spotlight is like, It's like, yeah, I'm gonna put out a 3-hour album, and every single track is gonna scintillate, you know, like uh-huh. because I put in the work and I don't stop and I wrote 70, 75, 70, 80 songs for this album, yeah. And I just took the ones that really resonate with people, and then I poured hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours into making each track sound, you know, sing, you know, yeah. It always breaks my heart when a band that I love puts out an album. It's like 12 songs. It's 42 minutes, and I listen to it 10 times, and then I'm done with it. I've listened to it enough that like I've sucked all the joy out of it, and like and then I have to wait 2 more years for the next. So I literally am making records for me as a music fan. Like the thing is like because I want to put out a record where listening to it twice is such. It's such an adventure. It's like by the time you come back around to the beginning. So for me, I just want it. Yeah. And that's just, you know, I'm just trying to change the way people think about music, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Well,
which is, you know,
I don't know. I know a handful of musicians and none of them, I think, are this passionate about making every part of it feel special and feel not just your own voice, but a very specific voice of what you're trying to get across.
Yeah, amen.
And so, you know, anything I can do to help, let me know.
That, yeah, no, you know, yeah, amen. And I certainly will. I mean, this album, like I said, I'm gonna be reaching out to anybody that I've ever done anything for ever at all.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be like, hey, yeah,
yeah.
Because you know, like this is my last gasp. I mean, it's not my last gasp forever.
Oh, goodness, it sounds so morbid.
Oh yeah, no, well, yeah. I mean, it's not. I definitely need to take a break. I definitely need to pull my foot off the gas, you know. Mm-hmm. If I can sell 30,000 units of this record, you know, which is not an unachievable number, then the thing is then I can take a year off. I don't really take time off.
Yeah.
But I can just focus on my Twitch stream and not, you know, I can get up in the morning and eat some food and hang out with the dog and not be feel like and I can stream and that's it, you know, like, and that would be awesome if I could just do that for a full year, man. But right now, yeah, I haven't been able to do anything like that since 2000.
For a while.
Since 2011. It just keeps accelerating, and I can't sustain it, you know? Yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you for taking the time.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Everybody check him out on Twitch, on Twitter. We'll have links in the show notes.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.